Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very unique show today. We're going to be speaking with Robin Spiesman about her latest book, Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. And folks, you know, these days, if you turn on the TV, you don't hear too many kind words, and it's time to get back to that kindness, and Robin is going to show us how. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back, but you know I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information which enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also author 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NessMoniqueChapman.com, and I do invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. New York Times bestselling author and media personality Robin Spiesman knows how meaningful a heartfelt word or gesture can be. In fact, she has become such a beloved TV personality by talking about the little ways, the very small ways, and sometimes large, but the very small ways of generosity can impact our lives in a positive manner. Robin Spiesman is the author of the book that we're talking about today, and that is Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. She has also written 34 other books. Okay, so she's not a novice at that, and she's a bestseller, and she really knows how to hunker down and get that information out to you clearly. She's been a very popular keynote speaker who has appeared in the media for over 3 decades, including NBC's Today Show numerous times and all the top publications. She's been there, done that. She lives in the Atlanta area, and you can check her out at her website, and that's Robin Spiesman.com. I'll spell that for you. RobinSpiesman.com. Welcome, Robin.
Hi there, Monique. It's so wonderful to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming on. You know, you are such a powerhouse for the advancement of women. You talk about living out loud. You talk about expert parenting. You are a how-to expert. You're a gift-giving expert. When did you realize that this was your true calling?
Okay, so I think what really motivated me most to get involved with writing books about empowering women, business and women, and now one of my most important books ever, Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word, is because I really realized by observing what people do right in our lives and what others do that makes a difference, that helps someone, lifts someone up. I noticed the unbelievable power in sharing those lessons. Mm-hmm. I'm very committed to what can I do for you today? How may I help you today? And what it does is it lifts me up out of myself, my own fears, worries, concerns, and it lets me make someone else's day brighter, smarter, better. The little things I might do might even give someone else confidence that they didn't receive growing up or in their lifetime. So I think I recognize at a very early age what it means to share one's generosity, to share the best of one's personality and spirit. And I need that reminder to go back to that often.
Okay, well, you talk about your dad, and I was very close to my dad, so that really touched my heart. But you talked about your dad going to lunch at the same restaurant every day, and he got to actually know the people and care about the people. And he would bring gifts for not just the people that he interacted with on a daily basis, but for the complete staff. Wow, so much love that your dad gave to these, in a sense, strangers until, you know, he got to know them better.
Exactly, and the thing was that he knew them. They knew this. They knew my dad the second he walked in there. They knew he was kind. He was gentle. He was caring. He would stop and hold the door. He's even when he was at 88, he was holding the door for younger people. He'd be at the cash register learning someone's name and repeating it. He would over tip even by, you know, a little bit, but it was a lot. I think that the example was when I was sitting there at the same restaurant where he loved to go week after week after week after week for his lunch, and they always got it right because they took the time to fill the bowl to the spot he liked. I mean, that's how kind of amazing it was. But I said, Dad, why are you so good? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know how to be bad.
Wow.
And so think about the power of that statement. Why are you so good? I don't know how to be bad. He would never even acknowledge his unbelievable generosity and his generous spirit, but he clearly believed this should be normal, to be kind and nice. That should be an everyday occurrence, not the exception to the rule.
Well, you know, today's environment, whether, you know, you're watching TV, it doesn't even have to be news anymore, whether you're watching here in the States or you tune into foreign news or foreign programs, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of what I call the H word, the hate word, and I was brought up not to even use that word. It was extremely dislike if you didn't like someone. How do we get from where we're at now as a world consciousness back to the energy of love and supporting and caring?
Well, we get back to that by thinking today, at this very moment, everyone who's listening, join us. Join us in thinking about who are you thankful for? Who might you in your day thinking about, so that at the end of the day you say to yourself, has my to-do list gotten done or my to-love list or both? And at the end of the day, you think about, okay, your errands, did you get to the bank? Did you cash a check? Did you balance your taxes? Did you do this? Did you do that? I want you to add something now to the list. In order to return to love, we must start thinking about love in a different sense. Instead of a noun, it's a verb. To love, to help, to acknowledge, to let someone know you appreciate them. To love is not just love in the romantic sense of the word. Love is a manner in which we move through life, and our space in which we take up is neither overutilized or, you know, kind of just unappreciated. I think what we look at is if you wish to return to love and love more, then love out loud. My book, Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word, is about think a good thought, say it. See something, do something. Take a little action and help the person behind you. Help the person in front of you. And when someone is not going fast enough, take a deep breath and realize the human race is not supposed to be humans in a race. Humankind is supposed to be humans being kind. So isn't that an interesting shift to think, are you in the human race or are you a racing human? Are you a human being kind, you know, and are you a kind human? And we just have to look at what does it mean to add more awareness of how to be kind to our lives, our voice. Mm-hmm. Someone just said to me, I was in a hospital setting, and they said, your voice is so comforting. And I thought to myself, that's because I'm using my comforting voice. So the intention of our voice is not that I have a voice any different than Monique or any listener right now. Uh-huh. It's just when you use a voice, it's hurry up, let's go, we got to hurry, we're late, we can't, you're not doing going fast. when we create that environment with our children, with our spouses, with ourselves, we start to create more anxiety and stress. Mm-hmm. And when we slow our voices down and our breathing slows down, we become a little bit more aware of, I will get to it. I will get it done, instead of the pressures of the world and the weights are on our shoulders. We start to enjoy life a little more wherever you are, even if it's not the perfect happy place for you. In fact, it might even be during a struggle. We have to slow down and dot our I's and cross our T's and not speed up so fast that something wrong can happen. We slip, we fall, we miss a payment, we forget someone's birthday, simple little things, forget to say a kind word after someone does something nice for you. We slow down, we're more aware of how to bring more joy to ourselves and others. Okay. And that's loving out loud, Monique.
Okay, well, I love loving out loud. Now, you're talking about slowing down, which a lot of people in today's rat race decide, because I truly believe it's a decision that they can't or won't do. But if they decide to slow down and they start paying more attention to others, what type of attention should they be paying? I mean, if you see someone in the grocery store and you say, hey, how you doing? Is it really caring about how they're doing, or is it just the lip service of them of listening so they have the opportunity to express themselves?
I think the bottom line is, hey, how you doing? If you are willing to stand and listen to someone's how they're doing, then ask a question. But have you ever talked to someone where you know they don't see you? You're actually invisible and you're standing right in front of them?
Yeah.
I think we have to think about, how do we connect along the way with individuals so that, hey, how you doing? Even if it's a stranger and your intention is to say hello and you want them to have a good day, you can just say, I hope you have a good day. Put your intentions out in the world. That's called paying attention. Put your attention out in the world, and what you start paying attention to starts manifesting more vividly. If you pay attention to bad things and things that upset you, and you replay them over and over in your mind, you will be more upset. But if you look at the day, even let's say you're at the grocery store, and remember, you see the same people pretty often. You probably don't know their names. You probably don't know anything about them. And yet you might see the grocery clerk checking you out more than you see your best friend. So why not think about, now, how can you change your day into the to-love list? Well, let me explain. A lot of people don't enjoy going to the grocery store. They want to just get the deed done, get down the aisles, check out, be back home, put up the groceries, make the dinner. That rush eliminates the opportunity to connect with yourself and anyone. So what happens to me was I started connecting with the person that checked me out. I learned her name was Sandra. So when I'd be checking out, I'd always look then for Sandra's line. Even if I waited an extra person, I loved checking out with Sandra, because Sandra always had something, some little tidbit to tell me about, oh, this is a great product, I'm glad you bought it, I use this at home on my blog. We'd have these lovely conversations. Remember, she's a product expert. She checks out products. Or I could say, Sandra, what's on sale? That's amazing. When I come back, she said, oh, my goodness, did you know the grapefruit's in season? It was just delivered. It just began. I looked for Sandra's line. Now, I don't even go to the grocery. I go back to that grocery, which is a little out of my way, because Sandra's there Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, look at what happens. And I actually shifted my to-do list to a to-love list, because I love going to that grocery experience. They take great care of me, and Sandra's got my number, and I always learn something. You see how it's a little thing, but it becomes a big thing. And now the same with my alterations. I hate getting alterations, but I have arms that need to be like sleeves, always have to be shorter than what they sell. So When I go for my alterations, literally, she hugs me, we say hello, we catch up, she gives me great advice. If I look down one day, she'll say, cheer up, Robin, and she just is a breath of fresh air. And I look, if I have now alterations, I know I'm going to see Winnie, and what a pleasure.
Yes.
And I never look better. When she alters something, it fits like a dream. So it's a shift.
Okay, and it's a shift that we can easily make. Folks, we're speaking with Robin Seisman. The book is Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. You can check her out at her website, and that is robinspizman.com, RobinSpizman.com. You know, Robin, you truly walk your talk. I can hear your truth and authenticity in your voice. In your work, you talk about focusing on the positive or what is right around you, not what is wrong. And you've proven just by that example of the grocery store that if you focus on what's right, life gets better, at least in that moment.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And what happens is you get more of what you focus on.
Okay. So, you know, the power of positive thinking, folks, it really does exist, and it's really very strong. There was a book out a long time ago called something along the lines of you can't afford to use a negative word. I'm kind of paraphrasing right there. But, it you know, the same premise. Keep it positive. Keep it uplifting. You know, think about it for a moment. If you think something negative, and your whole body just droops, and then you think about something positive, like listening to Robin and her information, there's a smile, and it's like the sun comes out, you know, and it helps you. Now, Robin, we have a bit of a crisis here in the United States regarding children. Our children, whether it's the video games or lack of parenting or whatever it is, they're coming out to be, unfortunately, mean kids. How can we raise kinder children?
Well, the first thing is there's a chapter in Loving Out Loud, and I will tell you, you read this chapter, you will be a more effective grandparent. You will have closer relationships with your grandchildren. And bottom line, we can raise kinder children by making kindness fun. A child's job is to have fun. When they're little, they just want your attention. So if you start shifting the child's experience with you to what are people doing right? When my daughter Allie was 3 years old, I made her CEO of the thank you company. And everywhere we went, I'm a former teacher, so I like teachable moments. Everywhere we went, I'd say to Allie, who do you want to put in your – it's a pretend family company, but it was very real to she and to her mom. And so I'd say, who do you want to hire for your company? And there'd be a really nice person, let's say somewhere, who was helpful. And so Allie would say, you're hired for my thank you company. Well, the person would be grinning ear to ear. It's like this little three-year-old saying, you're hired. And they'd say, for what? She'd say, my thank you company. You're doing a good job, or I like the way you helped that customer, or whatever the words were. Mm-hmm. And over the years, she really became aware of what it means to be customer service friendly, helpful, genuinely kind, have a nice voice, and go out of your way to do something purposeful for someone. And that experience really transformed the way Allie saw the life. And it just was a dramatic thing for a three-year-old. And what I learned along the way also is that children at that age, very young, can have a purpose. My kids always had a community service project. They got to help decide what it was. Mm-hmm. Allie raised, over the years, over $500,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Congratulations to her. Wow.
It was a pretty major goal. But her goal was $1.3 million to match what another little girl who had lost her life to a rare bone cancer, Allie wanted to match what that child raised when she wished for all the children in South Carolina, actually it was North Carolina, that their wishes would come true. I think the point I'm making is my son collected thousands of toys for the Miracle Maker campaign for the children that didn't have toys during the holidays when there was a challenge in our city to a shortage for toys. But I want to just say this: it's not hard to engage kids. We gift children with all kinds of toys and this and that and the latest electronics. Think about making volunteerism a part of your family values, and write out a family mission statement and really understand what does your family stand for. What do you stand for? And when we think about our grandchildren, they come to our houses or by FaceTime, we read a book call it from the I Love You library. And Loving Out Loud, I'm talking about having an I Love You Out library where you take one book at a time and then you put the book back, you finish the book, and another one does not come out until you have finished the first one. Mm-hmm. And we carefully turn the pages, and we don't color in a book unless it's a book intended for that. Mm-hmm. And we respect how we turn the pages because they could tear and we must be gentle. So if we teach children a respect of the little things, I think they'll grow up with a respect for the bigger things.
You know, when I'm listening to you talk, it sounds like you're really reinforcing the golden rule.
Ah, and in the book I talk about the golden ruler, mm-hmm. a gentleman, my television producer's father of just blessed memory, had a promise to everyone called POMG. And when he sold individuals jewelry, he gave them the POMG promise, which was peace of mind guaranteed. If you're not happy, we're not happy. If you're happy, it was kind of the treat others the way you wish to be treated rule and take care of people. But the bottom line of the golden ruler was he gave out golden rulers to people that were doing good things in the community.
Mm.
And the golden ruler was a symbol, obviously, for the golden rule. But, you know, children can learn about the golden rule at home. What makes it golden? And how do we bring it into our homes?
Uh-huh.
If we expect it to happen at school and other places, what do we say and do at home to contribute to children understanding what does it mean to live a good life, a kind life? What does being nice to each other mean? It's not just be nice because you have to be nice. Uh-huh. What if you're nice because it feels so good inside that it makes your heart smile?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like starting to a child understands that. But my little grandson said to me, but Roro, that's what I'm called. He
uh-huh.
said, my heart can't smile. He's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, yes, it can. And when I see you, my heart smiles and I can feel it. But you can't see it, but you can see it on my face.
Mm-hmm.
My face is smiling at you. My heart's smiling. And now when he sees me, he goes, hey, Roro, is your heart smiling today? And I go, yes, it is.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, it is.
What ideas do you have for parents who, you know, have 2, 3, 4 kids, and the kids just aren't getting along? Those siblings, you know, the fighting, the wanting more attention or whatever. One suggestion can you share with us for parents who are struggling with that right now?
Sure. So I have the great pleasure of writing quite a few parenting books with the child psychologist and educational consultant, Drs. Marianne and Stephen Garber.
Uh-huh.
And in those books, the point of the book called Good Behavior was focus on the good. And one of the things in Loving Out Loud, I talk about all these creative ways that you can bring cooperation in the house. And I have to tell you a funny story, Monique.
Okay.
So I heard last night on one of the episodes of The Bachelor. So Bachelor Nation, if you're listening, you're going to smile and know exactly what I'm talking about. And so the bachelor goes and visits, you know, one of the girls he's the bachelor's, the mm-hmm. women that he's, you know, courting. And they sit down at the table, and the home where he's now visiting, the prospective, you know, girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
they say, well, tonight, blank has the special plate. And they had a special plate. And the person who gets the special plate at the table, she said, the mother, we have a tradition, we go around the table and everyone says something nice about the person who gets the special plate.
Uh-huh.
And so here's the woman coming home, and she got the special plate, and everyone had to go around the table saying something nice about her. So if you think about it, and it could be a paper plate, you know, it's like
mm-hmm.
the special plate means you talk and you compliment and you think of what someone else has done in the family, a sibling that is meaningful or helpful, and you focus your attention on that blessing, that observation, that compliment reinforces every one of the siblings. So it's very easy to focus on what's wrong, but when you focus on what's right, you get more right. When you focus on what children are doing Right. So in the midst of the chaos, all four kids, let's say, not getting along, fighting, you know, doing all kinds of stuff that is just not good behavior or helpful to the family unit. The important thing is to remember, if you only focus on that, you'll get more of that. But if you focus on what someone's doing right, the power of your attention, again, it's the intentional attention you focus on that you're more likely to get more of. So try focusing on what's right, and you'll find that more right will start to happen. And that's what seems to be like, really? And that's really the truth. Because if you tell me over and over what I'm doing wrong as an adult, am I less likely to do it? Well, I don't know. Maybe I already feel defeated. Maybe I feel criticized. Maybe it's very negative. But tell me what I did right. I'm more likely to do it because then I know you appreciate it. It feels good. I'm motivated. And that's really it in a nutshell. And certainly there are problems a book and my advice cannot solve. You need a professional therapist, a family, you know, advisor. But if you try focusing on the good, you get more good.
Yes, you do. And I think everybody can think back to a time in their life where they focused on something positive, something good, and they received more good. But sometimes we just get out of that energy and go back to the negative. But, you know, stay in the light, folks. Stay in the light. It's okay to stay in the light. Now, Robin, what suggestions would you have for loving someone who's going through a difficult time loving out loud, whether it's a spouse who's grumpy and you're trying to be optimistic, or someone else living in the household? Or even a work situation where I've had a few bosses from hell in my time, and I felt there was no reaching them, so I left. So what are some ways that we can show love by loving out loud without being, I guess, confrontational, even in a soft sense?
Yes. I think that, first of all, if you expect someone to love out loud and just kind of be positive and snap to it, just because you say so, you're going to really need to read my book. If it was that easy, everyone would just be kind and appropriate and nice and all those good things and appreciate us and cherish us. The truth is that in the book I talk about, it's quoting a psychologist who believes deeply in this technique. There are a lot of techniques in the book. The book is jam-packed with hundreds of ideas for creating better relationships in your life with each other. And the amazing part of this is when you ask for the gift of listening. So if Monique, you and I had a disagreement, regardless of what it is, and I say, can I have the gift of listening? Then you have a choice to say yes or no. No, I'm not interested in listening to you. Or sure, which is most likely what you'll hear. Someone gives you then the permission to tell you. That shifts a very important dynamic psychologically, emotionally, because you have now given the other person permission, and now your attention is on the topic. You're not blindsided. You're not. It's not a disruptive thought. So in the book, I talk a lot about the gift of listening and how the power of that can shift your dialogue. Part of this book is how to communicate in a more loving, non-threatening, less intimidating, demanding way. Because most of us do not hear ourselves. And if you stop tonight and you stop, if you listen to yourself for 1 minute, you have to ask yourself, would I listen to this person who's making demands of me and being, you know, and be the person that you wish to be around more often. Because when it's possible and it's a safe situation where two people who care deeply about each other wish to work something out and they're more aware of how they treat each other, big things can happen. So I have a rule. My husband comes home. In my mind, I learned that when he walks in that door, I don't care what I'm doing unless it's like, you know, I'm going to burn dinner or something. You know, I stop and give him a big hello. I want him to know that I miss him. Instead of expecting calls throughout the day and this and that and this and that, my message is I am so happy to see you. My expectations shift to what have I done to create the loving environment that I want. The other thing is, everyone listening, learn how to ask for what you want. You know, you go to a grocery, you go to a restaurant, you're great at it. You go, you know, you go to a store, you want, you know, 10% off because it doesn't. Here's the deal. What would it look like if you said to your significant other, do you know what, when you wrote on that Valentine, Robin, dearest, it just made me feel so loved.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you. Instead of emoticons and, you know, the way we are learning how to communicate with a lot of emoticons, start looking at what's the power of words. And then before you go to sleep at night, what's the last thing you want to hear? Did you turn the alarm on? Are the lights off? Or, I love you madly. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Sweet dreams. Like, what do you do in your life to create a softer, gentler world that you want to hear? And the only person you can impress loving out loud upon first is yourself. And then guess what? Everyone starts to follow.
Yeah, just kind of mushrooms out that way. And folks, if you don't have a significant other in your life or anyone in your home when you go to bed at night, tell yourself you love yourself. You know, love yourself out loud. You know?
So, like, to someone, and especially someone listening who is alone, or, you know, I don't even like that word. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
It's not, there's nothing wrong with being alone. A lot of people enjoy being alone. It's like their alone time is important time. What I think to say is be sure if you feel isolated, if you feel like you're cutting yourself off, you have to take risk by saying hello first, asking someone, you know, I really would love a friend who's knowledgeable about books, and you seem to always be reading a great one. Could you give me some advice? What's a book I should read? So think about ways to connect with people. Don't fear being rejected. Open up conversation. Show your interest. Is there anything I can do for you today? You know, when someone says that to you, you know, you're like, whoa. You know, I could give you a laundry list, but wow, that's really generous of you. Thank you for offering. Yes. Do you have any suggestions for blank? Or everyone's got a friend that's better than them at something. Think about what your friend does well and ask them to teach you something. Like, you're a great cook. Could you teach me, could you share one recipe and let me observe you make one dish? Mm-hmm. See, we bond over moments. So how do you increase the possibility for loving out loud moments? Maybe you love out loud gardening, dancing, singing. Maybe you postpone learning a musical instrument, a second language. Return to loving out loud and self-care, self-love at night. Say, tomorrow is going to be a great day. You did good today. You did your best. Time to go to sleep.
Yeah, and let it go. You know, folks, just let it go because it's done. You're not going to change it. Let it go and improve on the next day because it makes life a little bit easier to navigate. Now, Robin, what about people in relationships, say husband, wife, or two people just living together as significant others, and one person, they're kind of closed down with their feelings and emotion, almost to the point of being hurtful, not intentionally, it's just, you know, how they've been to this particular point. How can we communicate with them the energy of loving out loud where they can, you know, possibly receive it and then take action to love out loud themselves?
Okay, I love the question because I believe all of us are raised differently. Some of us were raised in a way where showing emotions was a sign of weakness. Others where they were raised, you know, really abundantly, positively in that manner. But for those of us who are keeping it all in, perhaps we live with someone or we are really a person of a few words and it's very hard to give praise. I want to say this to you. You have to start small. You have to look in the mirror and instead of saying you look exhausted, you know, your inner voice, instead of it saying you're tired, you're this, you're that, look in the mirror and say, you got it. You got through another day, one day down, tomorrow's a new day. You also have the self-talk has to start, even if it's simple. You might not, you know, jump into, wow, you're fabulous, you know, you're doing great. You might start small with, wow, you know, you ate healthfully today. Or you ate less sugar today, or whatever your today is, that positive reinforcement has to start in one's mind. But the second thing is this. If you're with someone who does not emote and they do not express feelings, and there's a story in the book of a 35-year marriage, a woman who said she loves her husband. They've stayed married 35 years, certainly had a lot of 35 years, she said, but he never tells me he loves me. And so I said, well, when he asks you what you want for, let's say, your birthday or Valentine's Day, what do you say? And she usually, it's a watch or jewelry, or she needed all kinds of things, all kinds of material things. There's a saying, don't cry over things that can't cry over you. I said to her, why don't you try something I did? And actually, it really worked. My husband asked me, I'm newly remarried, and he said, what would you like for Valentine's Day? And I thought, This is an opportunity to love out loud. I want to be loved out loud. I mean, he clearly knows. He's a man of a few words. I'm a woman of a lot of words. And I said, how about every morning say something kind when I wake up or you see me? And he said, how about good morning, beautiful? And I said, that'll be perfect. And the deal was he didn't have to go to the mall. He didn't have to buy me anything. He loved that idea. And then but every day, like for the rest of my life. That's my motto. You know, whatever you choose, say it. Do you know that every morning, and if he forgets in the morning to say it, it comes at night, good morning, beautiful. During the day, I'll get a text, GMB. Because what I'm doing to this man of a few words is I'm not demanding that he communicates in this way that I might think is just amazing. He's communicating in a way that he chose, he connects to, he remembers, and he knows how much it means to me. And he understands that was my idea of a gift. So I said to the woman, what would you like to ask for? She said, if I ever had one love letter, she said, you'd have to resuscitate me. I would faint. I said, well, then, I said, so ask for it. Instead, so he asked her what she wanted, like every other year. What do you want for your birthday? And that year, which was last year, before the book came out, she said, I want a love letter. Well, you would have might as well told this gentleman that she wanted, you know, the key to Fort Knox and $1 million. So he said, well, how do I write a love letter? And she said, the beauty of it is that Shakespeare did it. All these famous people, like Romeo and Juliet, like, you know, look online, learn, just look, research it, like a business deal. And just look, the way to close the deal, an eye on the prize, is you'll write something. Hallmark does it really well. Like, who else can you just learn from? So he wrote this love letter. I think he pieced together every famous cliche quote and on the planet. But she loved it. It was handwritten, and that was the other part. She wanted his writing. She keeps it on her bedside. She said she reads it every night. And it just kind of gave me chills because instead of saying, I've never gotten a love letter, he never says, I love you. He wrote the love letter because she shifted what she wanted to see happen in a meaningful way that wasn't a demand. And it became fun. And actually, he succeeded. And he's like a superstar love letter writer now. And he's like, does post-it notes with little sayings from different famous people. And, you know, I think that that's the example of how do you wish to be loved? This is your one precious, amazing, fabulous life. Life is one day phenomenal and one day it's awful. And the next day it's phenomenal again. And how are you going to bond with the people in your life? Because that's what matters, your daughter, your children, your siblings. And believe me, there's some relationships that can't be resolved. I get that. But if you really give it your very best chance, would you like to start over? Can I give you a hug? Do you think we could try again? And let go of the story, because you can be happy or you can be peaceful. And sometimes being peaceful and letting go of being right will get you very far, especially with individuals who do not emote and express feelings like I'm sorry and, you know, I love you and you're awesome. And so we have to learn how to meet someone where they are and work on the relationship from that point and not be so righteous because we're right and it's better to love out loud. No, no, no. That's not what I'm teaching. I'm just teaching to take a deep breath and think about the relationships and how to really improve them and connect. Because when we connect, we literally create a better life for everyone.
Yes, we do. And folks, please go to robinspiezman.com. That's RobinSpiezman.com. And take a look around. She's got all of her books up there. She's got, you know, I thought back to her dad when I saw this link, and it's gifts and tips, okay? And they're absolutely free. They're empowering. She doesn't waste your time. And she can help you change your vibe. You can raise your energy field. And once you do that, it's like the world is like your oyster, and you can go out there and share love, receive love. That's equally as important as sharing. And it's going to, your world, your circle is going to be a whole lot better. And Robin, if you do that, won't that make the whole world better overall? I mean, people are always saying they want to change the world, make the world better. Would that be one way to contribute to that?
Absolutely, because in life we can be bitter or we can be better. And when we go for the betterment of all of us and each other, we realize that the gift is in the giving. If you're focused on just receiving, you're going to be disappointed. If you start recognizing the power in your ideas, your thoughts, your words, and your actions, good deeds, good thoughts, actions, kindness, you can move a mountain. And as they say, you get more bees with honey. And that was what my dad's name was. We called him Honey.
Aww.
So in his spirit, remember, live a good life, remember people's names, and acknowledge others for what they do, and they'll do more of it.
Yeah. Very well said. I was going to ask you for a pearl of wisdom, but you just gave it to me, so thank you very much, Robin.
You're
really
so
appreciated
welcome.
Our time together today as we collectively get over it. And audience, I appreciate you listening in. Do get the book. You know, if you're struggling with anything right now, and I mean truly anything, her book, Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word, will shift your energy. Okay, I read it. It helped shift my energy with some of the challenges that I was going through. And it also allowed me to shift my perspective on a few things. Because you're not always right, folks. You're just not. So get the book, Loving Out Loud. Now, if you're interested in raising your vibration, you can give me a call for an intuitive consultation. Consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make that investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of loving out loud. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.